Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ben. All right, so the big reveal is here. U.S. President Donald Trump has announced the biggest U.S. tax cut ever. Great cheer for the markets, you think?
No, not as far as the markets were concerned last night. We saw a little bit of a sell the fact event, actually, which shouldn't come as a huge shock. I mean, when you said there was a big reveal, well, it wasn't big in size because it only went for one page. So we can only assume there's going to be some more detail to come on such a monumental tax break package, the biggest in history, in fact. So, but to answer your question, certainly we saw an unwind in the US dollar. We saw movements in the bond market, certainly the equity market. We saw a big unwind. Things were going along quite swimmingly there on the Wall Street session, but certainly the markets did a bit of an about face. Now, it wasn't anything dramatic. It was about a 0.5% turnaround. So maybe the market just needs a little bit more time to digest it. But, you know, it's been something that's been well priced in and speculated about for the longest time. So, you know, probably a little bit of a sell the fact event shouldn't come as a huge shock to us.
So, Ben, as you mentioned, it was just one page long. So what do you think is missing here? And what are the kind of details that markets will be clamoring for?
Well, in terms of further details, it's going to be quite a lengthy package. So I know in terms of the broad brush strokes that we saw last night, I guess it doesn't leave too much by way of how it's going to play out or how the plan is for it to play out. But of course, it needs to be voted on by both sides. And just given the problems that the healthcare package has had getting through, I guess we could only speculate that, either this is going to get up quite easily because we do know that both sides do want tax reform, or if it's going to struggle, if one side or both sides have got problems with it. So even that one page last night, we could see significant changes. Excuse me. Look, to answer your question, I just think we need to see a lot more water pass under the bridge and how it's going to be paid for, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's a bit of a watch this space at this stage.
No, certainly. Now, also, because in the lead up to this quote-unquote big reveal, you know, there's talk that these tax cuts will only serve to widen the U.S. fiscal deficit, you know, meaning that the Fed's coffers will miss out on some $2 trillion U.S. dollars, according to some media reports. You know, so, like you mentioned, how does this plan even pay for itself?
Well, I mean, in the one-page statement last night, it was saying that it's going to pay. It is literally going to pay for itself with growth. Certainly in terms of the GDP numbers moving forward to really impress. So that was what it said. Obviously, we're still watching on the savings to be made from the healthcare package as well. So that is another element that might start get that might sort of, you know, have an impact across markets. Now, there's expected to be another vote on Friday or Saturday. In the Asian time period. So that's something that we're going to be watching. It'll have ramifications across equity markets, currency markets, and of course bond markets as well. So that's something else that I'm keeping a very, very close watch on at this stage. And of course, you know, not to mention the stimulus package as well. And that might have been some reason why perhaps markets were a little bit disappointed last night, because of course it was all about tax, but absolutely no measure, no mention of stimulus measures either, infrastructure spending and these kind of things. So there's still a lot to come on the fiscal side out of the US that could potentially lift markets or see a little bit of disappointment.
Now, also looking ahead to Friday and going into Saturday, Malaysian time, we've got first quarter US GDP data due out then. And it's projected to show an expansion of 1.5% on an annualized rate. Now, that's the weakest pace in nearly a year. Now, yet, you've got the White House and expecting to see that sustainable 3% GDP growth that they say will ultimately pay for this tax cut, right? So, I mean, do you think that tax cut is enough to bridge that gap again, going from 1.5% up to 3% sustainably?
Well, it possibly is. I mean, the other side to the tax brace is, you know, the repatriating of funds from large offshore corporates, which may see, or when I say offshore corporates, American corporates that have businesses offshore, of course. You know, that will certainly see, if that money is put back to work in the U.S. economy, that could potentially see a big lift in U.S. GDP numbers. Now, there is quite a divergence in terms of what we're expected to see coming out of first quarter numbers. I've seen, I think the street is around 1.4 to 1.5%. But, you know, having a look at the range of estimates, I mean, I've seen estimates sort of down significantly lower than that, and of course a little bit higher as well. And, you know, somewhere in the middle is where we find the 1.5%. So it still comes in a fair cry shy of the quarter four's number, which was 2.1%. So yeah, I think that what we're going to see here is a little bit of a read through on what's expected out of the Trump administration moving forward. Are businesses already starting to get excited and warm to the idea of President Trump's tax breaks and stimulus measures? Well, I guess we won't have to wait too long to find out. It's going to be a big driver, no doubt, for markets on Friday. That's and of course coinciding, as I said, with the potential for another vote on the healthcare package. This is, you know, we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to the U.S. economy, and all feeding through into early next week and the Federal Reserve and, you know, what they're going to say about the outlook for U.S. interest rates. So there is a lot to take stock of in terms of macroeconomic news coming in the next week or so. So, you know, if you've got positions or if you're investing or trading, then it's, you know, you're going to be watching these numbers very, very closely, because they're going to have significant impact right across global market.
Now, something else we got to watch closely: oil prices. Brent falling back towards that $50 a barrel mark, and then you've already got comments from the energy ministers of OPEC members saying that they plan to meet with their Russian counterpart, you know, possibly by this week or within the next couple of weeks. Now, do you think we'll be seeing a more pragmatic OPEC, given the risk that oil markets will not rebalance by June?
I have given up trying to predict what OPEC are actually going to do and what they think and what they say and what they do. I mean, it's just so divergent in terms of the commentary and the action sometimes. So it was very interesting looking at those inventory numbers last night, because the knee-jerk reaction was significantly higher. I'm just having a look at my screen at the moment. There was nearly a dollar higher on the West Texas Intermediate contract. But then it unwound and sort of now finds itself only marginally above where it was before the release of the inventory data. So obviously there was a little bit of initial confusion, I guess we could say, amongst oil traders as to what it actually meant. But, you know, net a slight positive. Obviously the higher prices go, the more chance of US shale producers and OPEC sort of not doing what they've been saying that they're going to do. So there's a lot of moving parts to the story. Obviously, anything OPEC-related is going to be watched very, very closely and will have significant ramifications for the price of oil. So we watch and hope with bated breath, but as I said, you know, we've been so disappointed by what they've done before. So I take anything that they say with a grain of salt without actually seeing some action first.
All right, Ben, let's end this chat talk about your home turf. Australia's inflation nearing the bottom end of the RBA's targeted range. You know, how do you think that will weigh on RBA's monetary policy outlook?
I don't think it will, really. It was Yeah, a little bit softer than expected, but I don't think it's going to move the needle either way. I think we're on hold here for the foreseeable future, and I think the RBA has said as much. There'll be other bits and pieces of data that we watch quite closely, including jobs numbers, which might have disappointed a little bit recently. So, you know, all told, maybe the balance is slightly, you know, might lean to perhaps the potential for a rate cut over, certainly over a rate hike at least, but still on the balance, I still think we're certainly on hold at this stage.
Ben, always a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for your time and your insights there. That was Ben LeBrun, market analyst with Options Express in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.